In the past few weeks, I have been preaching a series on the Holy Spirit. And today I'm going to wrap up the series. And I sincerely appreciate your interest, support, encouragement, and prayers during the past few weeks on this topic. So this morning, what I'll do is that I'll begin with a recap of what I have said so far on the Holy Spirit, followed by the things that we need to do in order to keep walking in the Holy Spirit, and I will end the message with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. First, a few weeks ago, I began with the identity of the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is. We all know that He is the Spirit of God, the third being, or person if you will, of the triune God whom we worship and serve, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now these three always work together in perfect harmony and unity from the very beginning of the universe till today. God the Father, we know Him as Creator and Sustainer, and God the Son, who is Jesus Christ, as Redeemer and Lord, and the Holy Spirit as Teacher and Comforter. The Holy Spirit is a divine gift to God's children. He is God ever present in us. This Spirit is a divine person, I said, not a thing or power. He has all the characteristics of a person, such as intellect, emotion, and will. And He is not our slave. Rather, we are His servants. I also talked about where the Holy Spirit is. He dwells in your heart. To be precise, He dwells in the heart of every child of God. Now note here, according to the Bible, not everyone in the world is a child of God. Some people just belong to the devil. And the scripture calls them, they are the children of disobedience, darkness, and destruction. Now just being physically born in God's image does not automatically make a person God's child. So you may ask me, so what makes a person a child of God then? Now spiritual rebirth does. Born again, born anew, and born from above. Those phrases meaning the spiritual rebirth. Now, spiritual rebirth means that a person becomes God's child when he or she repents from his or her sin and confesses that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of all. And did you know that the Holy Spirit is behind every believer's confession as such? Because the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 12:3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, if anyone who does not confess Jesus is Lord is not born of God and therefore cannot be a child of God. Romans 8:14 says that children of God are those who are led by the Spirit of God. So what does He do in the life of God's children then? He helps them. He is the divine helper in residence 24/7 in us. He is our advocate. He is our comforter and teacher. And He is guide and leader. When I say advocate, He is like a defense lawyer. He is standing right next to you and defend you. He is also the comforter. He knows how to comfort you and me. When all the words in the world, human words, fail to comfort us, He could comfort us with His peace that surpasses all understanding. He's our teacher. The scripture says that He teaches the truth. He's the Spirit of the truth. And He also guides and leader. He guides us into the right direction that we need to go. Did you even know that He even intercedes for us, prays for us with groans? When we ourselves don't know how to pray for ourselves. If you think, nobody in the world prays for me. Maybe you'd have nobody prays for you. But think again. The Holy Spirit always prays for you. He also empowers God's children so that they may become powerful and dynamic witnesses for Christ. I talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We receive that power, dunamis, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, I said, which we receive when we ask God to grant us with strong and sincere desire and faith. So the real question is, what do we do with God's gift who is in us 24/7? Did you know that we are called to a constant fellowship with Him and to an eternal communion with Him? We are called to walk in Him, follow Him. Now, plainly speaking, we are called to have conversation and spend time together with Him on a regular basis. Let's think about our reality, though. When was the last time you conversed with the Holy Spirit? Well, most of us, we say that, well, I haven't. Because when we don't even realize that He is in us, how can we have a daily conversation with the Holy Spirit? That's the reality, and we need to change that. So I personally believe that it is time that we started paying attention to the Holy Spirit in us, and it's past time that we lived a Spirit-led life. It's past time that we became a spiritual. Let me repeat. It's past time that we became a spiritual. Now, let me define what I mean by spiritual. My definition this morning would be quite different from the one that most of us are familiar with or use nowadays. You see, we Americans love to use this expression, I may not be religious, but I am spiritual. 9 out of 10 people in America think so. How many of you heard that expression? I'm not religious, but, you know, I am spiritual. You know, whenever you hear that kind of expression, you need to think twice. Are we on the same note? Are we on the same tone? Because when they say, it literally means, I may not go to church. I don't go to church. I don't belong to any organized religion. You heard of that expression before. But, you know, I believe in God. You know, I'm good. I try to be good. That's the, you know, the behind of all this expression of, I may not be religious, but I'm spiritual. But two things at least you need to think in mind and keep in mind. First of all, when they say, I don't go to church because church is full of hypocrites. Seriously, some of them just gave up on the church. You know, recently I've been reading the book of Revelation. And if you read the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, you will see Jesus Christ sending letters to 7 churches in Asia. And out of 7 churches, 2 churches got nothing but compliments and encouragement. Because these 2 churches going through very severe persecutions, and even one church lost their members due to the persecution. Execution, actually. So, Christ was encouraging them, keep on, you're doing a great work. Do not give up, just hold on to what you have. The other 5 churches, they always is something going wrong. So the Christ says, repent. And, you know, restore whatever you had before. And Christ says, you know, from that attitude Christ has toward His church, I mean, these 5 churches were not perfect at all. They were all imperfect, indeed. And to one church, Christ says, you think you are alive, but you are dead. You think you are rich, but you are very, you know, just poor. You think you are well dressed up, but you are naked and you are wretched. I mean, He's using very strong words. However, one thing I noticed from Christ's attitude is that He never, ever gives up on His church. He knows how imperfect they are, but He never gives up on the church. So from that attitude, I said, no matter how imperfect the church is, any congregation is, we never give up on the church. The second thing is that when they say, I am spiritual and I believe in God, we need to just think twice. Are we talking about the same God? Because to some people, the actual God in their lives is themselves, believe or not. And nowadays, we got to be very careful when someone says, I believe in God. We need to double check, because let me tell you this. If you go to Japan, do you know how many spirits and small gods the people in Japan serve and worship and bow to? Do you know how many? It's not just hundreds. It's not even thousands. Someone counted and came up with the number 7 million spirits and small gods. And you think, how in the world possible is 7 million small G gods? Think of this. If you look at any Japanese film or anything, when they enter their house, have you seen them? At the corner, there's a little, like, looks like a house, small house. And they stand and bow. Have you seen them? How many have seen them? Yes. That's their house god. So imagine that each household, as long as they follow Shintoism, they have their own small god. Plus, did you know that they even worship the spirits in the woods and any plants and animals, you name it? And even they worship the human parts. I'm not making this up. Private parts, I must say. You know, so when they say, I'm religious, you know, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual and believe in God, you have to say, are we talking about the same God, Jehovah God and the Triune God? So with that just in your mind, that understanding, such an understanding of spiritual, is far from my understanding and definition of spiritual. So I'm going to this morning tell you, when I say it's past time that we became a spiritual, this is what I mean. My definition comes from the Bible. Being spiritual means being led by the Spirit of God. Led by, taught by, and guided by the Holy Spirit. That's what I mean by being spiritual. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2:13, those who are spiritual receive the teachings of the Holy Spirit and obey them. In my humble opinion, therefore, being spiritual has everything to do with God's Spirit and accepting His guidance through His teachings. And those who do not, in my humble opinion, are not spiritual. Now, I said that we are called to be led by the Holy Spirit and walk in the Holy Spirit, to follow the Holy Spirit. So such a life, following and, you know, walking in the Holy Spirit, requires us to do the two things. Number one, listen, and number two, obey. I'm sure you heard of that expression, listen and obey. Number one, we need to hear God's word, and number two, we need to put God's word into practice. So how do we do that? Simple way is get into the word of God and keep God's commandments. Let's think about the reality though. Too many of us, in my humble opinion, fail to listen to the Holy Spirit simply because we do not get into God's word, the Bible. Now think of it this way. You have a one-on-one lesson with the Holy Spirit daily. He's the teacher and you are the student. He's ready to teach you about anything and everything about the truth. And the textbook the Holy Spirit, the teacher, uses is the Bible. Why? Because it's God's word and because it's the book of truth. He asks you, the student, to open the textbook before he starts teaching. And you are not following his instructions though. You rather have excuses why you don't open the word of God. Such as, my dog ate it. I don't have time to read it. It is too difficult, too boring, whatever excuses we have. So how can you expect the Holy Spirit, the teacher, to guide you into the truth when you even don't open the book of the truth? Simple as that. Now, don't get me wrong. It is true that the Bible is not the only way the Holy Spirit uses to teach us and guide us into the truth. He also uses other means, such as prayers and peace in our heart and sensitivity to Him, and even sometimes through friends. However, we can be easily misled by these means. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit doesn't use those means, but I've seen numerous times people are misled through this. In other words, they are not the primary ways, and they shouldn't be the primary ways the Spirit guides us with. Rather, they must be tested against God's Word, because God's Word is the primary way the Spirit uses to lead us, and He never contradicts the Word of God. True story. There was a woman who says, I want to divorce my husband because the Holy Spirit told me to divorce my husband and marry someone else. I mean, true story, folks. Now, how do you take it? Well, the Holy Spirit told her to do so, so go ahead. We need to attest it against what the scripture says. See? So that's, it's kind of a really dangerous way to rely on those other means. That's why the Spirit always uses, and primarily, the Bible. So how does He communicate with us all the time and most of the time? Through our daily devotion in the Word of God. And that's why I said repeatedly in the past, it is crucial for us to get into God's Word daily for the guidance from the Holy Spirit. You know, the Derek Prince, the pastor, says this. If you want to know how much individual loves God, ask them how much they love the Word of God. I think it's true. If you truly say, I love God, show me by how much you take, seriously, you take God's Word. Now, if you don't get into the Word of God, I'm afraid that you are missing out on the Holy Spirit's daily guidance. You know, I read the Bible every day, not because I'm a pastor, but, you know, I started 40-some years ago from the first day I ever just, you know, stepped into the church. I really thank God for just getting me into it. So whenever I read the Bible every day, morning, this is what I say. I open the Bible and I say, Lord, now I opened your Word. Please open my heart and speak to me. I am ready to listen and obey. And the Holy Spirit usually gives me daily bread for me to put into practice. Let me move on. I said there are things that, you know, two things we do, listen and obey, but there are two other things that we should never do. Because when we do these things, then they will quench the Spirit in us or even grieve the Holy Spirit. You may wonder, how can I ever quench the Holy Spirit in me or grieve Him? Two things. Number one, when you follow your flesh and the desires in the flesh and insisting on living a selfish lifestyle, then you can and you sure will quench the Spirit in you. Number two, when you blindly follow the principles in the world and live by them every day, you can and you will grieve the Holy Spirit. Just remember, as I said last Sunday, the flesh and the Holy Spirit, they do not get along with each other. When the Holy Spirit is up, flesh is down. When the flesh is up, the Holy Spirit is down. They are in constant opposition to each other. Galatians 5:17. Therefore, by feeding your flesh all the time, you will definitely quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. So let me move on about the fruit part. So when you follow the Holy Spirit every day, you will see some evidence of it in your life. The Bible calls those results the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They are listed in today's text, 9 of them altogether. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Now the fruit of the Holy Spirit are not limited to those 9 though. There are others such as righteousness and mercy and grace and truth. Now, these are the fruit you will enjoy in your life as long as you walk in the Spirit. But you know, there is another fruit awaits you. It is called the fruit that you will harvest in the end. You will inherit. That is called eternal life. You will inherit this eternal life, the privilege of being in the presence of God for eternity. You see that? You follow the Holy Spirit, you enjoy all the fruit of the Holy Spirit when you're alive, and then when you die, you will inherit the eternal life. Now, the opposite is quite true and possible to those who choose to live according to their flesh instead of following the Holy Spirit. In this life, same pattern, they will harvest all the things opposite of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Imagine that. This is what the scripture says. They are called the deeds of the flesh, sexual immorality and impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery and enmities and strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes and dissensions and factions, envying, drunkenness and carousing. So in the end, that's the fruit that they will, you know, have. But in the end, what do you think they will harvest? They will inherit eternal death, eternal absence of God. Where do you think the only place in the world, and actually in the future too, without God's presence? The place called hell. That's the one they're going to inherit. Now, sometimes I run into people who want to have all the pleasures in the world without God. They make it very plain and they don't hide. And have a last minute deathbed conversion. They heard of it. Story of the, one of the criminals who was crucified with Christ. Oh, and he's, you know, he was so bad that he was crucified. And the last minute before he had, you know, died, he says, "Christ, I believe in you." And Christ said to him, "You will be in paradise with me today." So they remember the story. They say, "That's exactly what I'm going to do." Well, let's say God is so gracious that somehow one person with that attitude finally got into heaven. Well, let me tell you this. I don't think it's going to be heaven to him anymore. You know why? Because he lived all his life with a choice that I have no need of God. I don't want to have God in my life. And all of a sudden, for eternity, he has to have God all the time. It's not about himself, but it's about God. And in my humble opinion, it's rather going to be eternal torment for him. So let's listen to God's word. In Galatians 6, 7 and 8 says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." You see, God looks into our heart and he knows what's in our heart, and no one will harvest eternal life after walking in the flesh and living in just a self-centered life, constantly rejecting God's call to repent. And one last thing and I'll be done. In my humble opinion, bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit is a process, meaning it takes time before you and I bear any fruit of the Holy Spirit. We do not expect to harvest them instantaneously, in other words. Rather, faithfully, when we faithfully sow the seed of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that is listening and learning from him through the Word of God, and sow the seed of obedience by keeping God's Word, then with patience and perseverance, we will enjoy the fruit in this life and will inherit the eternal life in heaven. So, the Holy Spirit calls us this morning, you and me, stop planting the seed of the flesh and start planting the seed of the Holy Spirit in your life. So once again, I'm going to invite those folks who'd like to say a sincere prayer with me, inviting the Holy Spirit, you know, to lead us and to stand on your feet, if you will, and say after me the following prayers. Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I desire you
with
all my heart. I want to walk in you. I want to follow you. I want to submit myself to you every day. I offer myself as a living sacrifice to you. You are my teacher and comforter. Teach me with the Word of God. Guide me in the truth. Grant me the desire to obey you and power to do your will. Help me sensitive to your guidance. Grant me the endurance to bear fruit and become a character. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.